the Oral History 2 Project, National Council of Jewish Women. It's March 21st, 1996. My name is Cindy Goodman-Lieb. This is our third interview with Frida Silberman. Frida, could you say your name, and actually, could you also say your date of birth?
Yes, Frida Silberman, born June 22nd, 1922.
Hey, Frida, today we're going to start off by asking you to talk about your social life after your marriage. We've kind of jumped around a little bit in the interview, but we'd like to go back to that time. Soon after you were married and then through the years of your marriage.
Well, the first year, there was no social life. Aaron was in the Army, away, and I was home with my family. I did see all my friends who were home. A lot of the young women were married and off to the wars with their, to army camps with their husbands. But the ones who came back because they had children came back to their mothers the way I did. And we had our own little group. But I had a lot of friends who I kept up with who were in town. It was nice. We kept each other company. And when Aaron got back, all his other friends who had been in service came back too. Thank goodness everybody came back. And then I got to know a lot of his friends who I hadn't known before. So social life was around the old friends and some new ones, plus going to New York when we could go to a show or do something, because we had a built-in babysitter then. Mm-hmm. And we didn't do a lot, I'll say that. It was nothing elaborate. But we also both had our families, and it was lots of family time then.
And when you moved to Pittsburgh, in the early years of your marriage, earlier years when your children were young?
Well, when our daughter was three, we moved here. And that became a whole other way of life, because it was starting all over with new people. We did know people through other friends in the East who we were recommended to a number of people in the city here, and that got our social life started, mostly through other contacts.
What were some of the things that you enjoyed doing either with your children and also with Aaron and adult friends?
Well, what we did mostly was socializing with our local friends in McKeesport, getting together in the apartments. There wasn't much in the way of going out at that time. We all had little kids. And we'd get together on a weekend in each other's apartments and get to know some of the other neighbors. And of course, we did immediately discover Pittsburgh and found out all the good things that were available. And when we could, we would go to a concert or to visit other people who we had gotten to know. And there was always music and just getting to know the city, really.
Were there favorite restaurants that you've had? Favorite places?
Oh, gosh. Once in a while we would treat ourselves. There was a place called the Park Schenley, which lasted quite a number of years at various addresses. But when it first opened, it was probably the first really good restaurant that the city had to offer. We were a little disappointed in that aspect of Pittsburgh. But it developed. Over the years, it really improved. Oh, there was a wonderful place, yes. The Playhouse, which is now part of Point Park College. The Playhouse had legitimate theater, repertory company, and wonderful actors, and the same people were in all the different plays that they put on. And they had a restaurant downstairs, and it was one of the best places in town. And that was before the Park Schenley. It started out you had to be a member in order to use the restaurant, but that changed soon after we got here. And it was wonderful because you could go to dinner first and have play afterwards and then trudge back to McKeesport. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in the snow, we'd have to leave our car at the bottom of a hill and hitchhike, try and get a ride up with somebody who had chains. Huh. Those were the days. But other things in the city, mostly socializing was with friends. I think maybe it was more then than now, but people went to homes of their friends, and we all did a lot of cooking. We all loved to cook and kind of showing off what we could do. And everybody was happy doing that. It was always fun. Right, Eva?
Was food short when you first moved here? Was food still post-war?
No. Okay. No. That was when I was at home yet. Oh, that was a major problem, definitely. That was during the war.
Were some of the people that you met in those earlier years, did you develop friendships that lasted?
Oh, yes. Definitely. 46 years before my son was born, we met several couples. We are still very close with them. Gradually, though, through the first people we met other people. And it just built from there. But when the people we were meeting refused to come to McKeesport and go up those hills in the winter, we decided it's time to move into Pittsburgh, which is what happened.
What are some of the family names of some of the friends that you...
Oh, well, there's Harry Franklin and his wife Joan, and Martin Bresson, and his late wife Leah, Ruth Radbord, and her husband who was deceased. Let's think. Kathy and Ben Spiegel, they go way back in our years here. And a number of families who have either moved away or they've passed on. Theo Saltzman from the Symphony, remember?
Yes.
Yeah. And the Anglers, Eva and Arnold, early days. The lady who just called me before, Edith Baradusi. We met in the McKeesport apartment, and her husband has died. That's the sadness right now. So many of the old families that we met, who we met, are gone. But whoever is here, we try to keep up our contacts.
Did you or Aaron have specific hobbies?
Apart from his clarinet, that was the main one. I think business was his. Clarinet was first. Business was his hobby. Other hobbies. Well, I can tell you all the hobbies he didn't have. He didn't like to fish. He didn't play golf, and he didn't. He did not do woodworking. But his other major enjoyment was playing handball, which is a game that kids in New York grow up and all seem to take part in. It's a very energetic kind of a game.
Did he continue playing that while he was in Pittsburgh?
Oh, yes, until just a few years before he died.
Where did he play?
Well, he played at the YMCA, and he played at later on at the Rivers Club, and but the YMCA was really the major place. But then when they closed down in order to put up their new building, by then, when that was finished, he was no longer able to go back. But the PAA, did I say that? And the Rivers Club. But he was a very athletic person. And years before that, he used to play tennis quite well. But the handball game was inbred. That was, it was a very fast game, and he was very, very good.
Is it PAA, Pittsburgh?
Athletic Association, yeah.
And was it the
YMCA.
Downtown?
Downtown, yeah.
Where was it located at the time?
That was on 4th and Wood. Now they have their new building on Boulevard of the Ellis, I think. Oh, yeah, they... I guess they needed it. The other was quite old and run down.
Did your family take vacations? Do you go on vacations with your children?
We didn't call them vacations because they were just weekends every now and then, which was about the best we could do. But we would go someplace within 100 miles of Pittsburgh and take our toothbrushes and change of clothing and just land wherever the car took us. What we did during the week was take a map of southwestern Pennsylvania, and each week one of us would choose which direction we would go. And we'd close our eyes and take a pencil and point. So we had a circle drawn around Pittsburgh. And so we got to see a lot of the area. And mostly we didn't even know that we would stay over because we didn't really have the kind of money to stay at a hotel. But every now and then we would. We'd be prepared and... we found all of the state parks, and we were looking for natural lakes, which were very hard to come by, and unless you went much further, then everything was man-made, and that was new to us, and we were used to being on the coast, near the rivers, near the Hudson, of course, but near the ocean, and we missed that, so we were looking for water, and later on we discovered Chautauqua, which was several hours away, probably closer to 4 hours. But we tried to keep it within a day's drive. And we got to see a lot of places that that were beautiful, really lovely, and kids enjoyed it. When it came to real vacations, we started going up to Lake Chautauqua.
Around when?
That would have been Stephen. The first time we went, Stephen was about 2, I think. Many of our friends were in the Pittsburgh Symphony, and they all worked in the summer at Chautauqua in the orchestra. And so we had an incentive. We would go to visit them. And there were times my parents came, met us there. We spent many vacations over the years, you know, a week at most at Chautauqua. And every now and then we'd go back east to New Jersey and go to the Jersey coast, Atlantic City. That was always nice. Other vacations? We didn't go away on a lengthy vacation until 1965. That was our first trip, real trip.
Where did you go?
Well, we went to Ireland. And by then, our daughter had established a connection, friends in Ireland, a family, who she met through the Experiment in International Living. And to this day, I will say that we are still very close with that family. And on the 17th, which was St. Patrick's Day, I called 2 of the family in Ireland, and Renee did the same from her home, because this was an experience that it was a wonderful thing for the children and for us. We established very close bond with these people. Did I mention at any point in this interview that I worked for quite a few years for PCIV?
No, you haven't got that.
Ah, I knew there had to be something else that I did.
Sure. Well, you want to bring it up now?
All right. Well, the reason I thought of it now is because they handled the arrangements for students who would go abroad on the experiment program that Renee went on. And I had been working for Pittsburgh Council for International Visitors for a long time. And I had heard about this program for students. And when my daughter was old enough to qualify, as she said she would like to go, and she chose France as her first place to go, but that was all filled, and I forget where the second one was. I think Italy. Third choice was Ireland, and that's the only place that her family was available, because I guess we came to the application a little late. And she was overjoyed to go to Ireland. And as I say, it became a long-lasting friendship. And it was a wonderful experience for her. But because I worked at PCIV, it was very beneficial to the children. It was the sort of thing that enriched their lives. A lot of kids grow up not knowing people from foreign lands. And this way, we got to meet people from so many different countries and so many different occupations. And I was a tour guide for a while, and I could tell you a lot about Pittsburgh.
Excuse me.
And there is one family who we still see, or at least I do. I saw them just this year in Holland, people who came to meet. We met them through PCIV, and we're still very close. So, but that was one of the nice things that helped the children develop an understanding what the rest of the world is all about.
Did you do other kinds of work with PCIV in addition to being a tour guide?
Well, I was in the office. Mostly it was in the office doing placement of the foreign visitors who came and arranging for their either home hospitality, where we would put them in with families with similar interests, or if they were business people or politicians, we had them match up with the like kind in the city and arrange for meetings. It was a very interesting time.
What about some other travel that you've done? I understand you've traveled pretty frequently, I guess since 1965.
Well, we've gone to visit. Usually when we go to visit people we know. But we've also gone on two Smithsonian tours. One was dealing with art and architecture in Italy. And the first one was in 1977, and that was to Poland, at which time we located Aaron's cousin, who was a deposed official of the government. He was, he was the right-hand man to Mr. Gomulka, which at the time was a very prestigious job. And he had lost interest, not lost interest, but lost faith. That's more what it was. And because he no longer believed in what the government, communist government, was doing, then he decided that wasn't for him, and he just retired. And he was always under surveillance, and when we were there, he was writing his memoirs. And soon after we left, the government sent some of their investigators to check him out, see what he was up to. And they discovered his manuscript, and they destroyed it. So his book was never published. But it was fascinating. And we went back to Poland a few times to see the family. We went to...
How was he related to Aaron?
His mother's first cousin. So they were, what is that, second cousin? How do you decide? Aaron's mother and this man were first cousins.
What was his name?
Stefan. I'd rather not put his name. Just okay. Stefan. He's gone now. It really doesn't matter, but it's okay. What else?
Where
else
China.
Did we go? Holland. Oh, well, in 1987, we went with the Pittsburgh Symphony to Japan and China. And that was 3 strenuous weeks, but it was terribly exciting. It was a good tour because we had tour guides who were very, well, not just knowledgeable, but just so well-versed in everything that they told us, and it's kind of hard to explain everything that we did because we were gone for about 3.5 weeks. But we did see, we went to a commune, and we went to schools. We also had a lot of music along the way with the Pittsburgh Symphony, and Lauren Mazel was the conductor. And, it was very, very special kind of a trip.
Did you and Aaron know Lauren? Do you know Lauren Mazel personally?
Well, I can't say. Yeah, well, we know a little bit. But when I was a teenager and he was 9 years old, he came to New York and conducted the New York Philharmonic on the stage of Lewison Stadium, which is Lewison. Oh, we'll have to look that up even. S-O-H-N, maybe, Lewison. Ludwig Lewison was a very well-known philanthropist. And but anyway, it was an open air. It was an amphitheater. And as it turned out, the place was filled, this huge, huge place, because Lauren Mazel, being 9 years old, was quite a showstopper. And he conducted, and it was fabulous. And when we met him here many years later, maybe 8, 10 years ago when he came to Pittsburgh, we met him, and Aaron told him that I saw him when he conducted in New York. He said, "What did I conduct?" I said, "Well, I don't know. I was going to ask you because I don't remember." You know, you remember the sight of this little kid in his short pants and his curly hair and his Lord Fauntleroy suit standing there in front of this imposing group, and he knew what he was doing. So we've seen him socially here a few times over the years, but I can't say we really got to know him. But that was my first experience knowing about him. And he was just a genius, he really was, still is. What else? Trips, where did we go? Where else did we go? Oh, the one trip to Italy with the Smithsonian, that was also very well done with tour guides from this country as well as tour guides from Italy. And we went into every important cathedral and museum, and the main thing was art and architecture, so it was very detailed. And there were classes every morning, and it was extremely well planned. So that was great. We've been to several of the places that we liked more than one time, which, so I can't say that we're that well traveled. You know, we've never been to South America. We've never been to Africa. Lots of places that I'll never get to now. But what we did do was always very exciting. Just a great experience.
Were you ever in Israel?
Oh, yes. I forgot to tell you. Yes. We had 2 weeks in Israel, and it's hardly enough. But Renee was living there at the time. She had gone on an archaeology dig. And when the The organization ran out of funding. She lost her job. The Americans lost their jobs. The Israeli group continued chipping away. They were working at the Wailing Wall. But she stayed on, and she got a job with a big publishing company. Kedem? Does that sound right? K-E-D-E-M?
Maybe. I thought that was wine.
Well, that could be. Well, maybe I'm wrong on the name. You'll have to...
Shocken?
No, check it out. But she was working on the a book by Abba Ibn called My Country, which he had just finished writing it. And so she did that, and she...
What did she do with it?
She was an editor.
Oh, okay.
And she was there for about 2 years, loved it, but at some point she realized she wanted to not to live there forever. But we enjoyed seeing that country. It was a good place to be.
What years were those?
That was 72, I think.
Before the Yom Kippur War?
Another place around that few years before we went to Mexico. But mostly we never took long trips. Aaron had his business developing, and he felt that he couldn't take too much time away. So if we had one vacation a year, that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. At most, it was 2 weeks. Where else did we go? Holland, of course, I said that.
England?
Where?
England.
Oh, England, yes. England, Scotland. That was a trip with the Carnegie Mellon, the Andrew Carnegie Society, it was called. That was an excellent trip, yeah. We got to Scotland and met up with one of the Irish family, the young man, the youngest of the Healy family, that's our friends from Dublin, was in the London Philharmonic, and they were playing. The orchestra was up in Edinburgh, Scotland, and I had notified him first that we were coming. So we got together with him. And that's what's so nice about having friends all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And much of that came about through PCIV.
Can you tell us about your children, especially your children as adults? Are they married?
You don't want to know how they were as children.
Actually, I guess we haven't talked about them as children.
No, we better not. They wouldn't want to be reminded. No, they were very good kids. As adults, well, Renee is the oldest, and she graduated from University of Wisconsin. But because of the Irish connection also, she took her junior year abroad and went to Trinity College in Dublin, which was the greatest experience. She lived with one of the family members. So when she majored in history, and and English, she went to Cambridge area. Boston, Cambridge area, and she was teaching school. She was teaching grade school. There were no jobs as history teachers without a master's degree, and she just went into this right after college. So she did quite a few years there. And then she went to Israel after that. And when she came back, she went to New York, and she went to New York University for her master's in Near Eastern Studies.
Seems so long ago now.
That's right. It is a long time ago. That's probably 20 years. And she was doing the coursework when she felt that she needed a job. So she got a job with a book dealer, an antiquarian book dealer. And she fell in love with this field of rare books. And this man specialized in medical and scientific books, and she made a serious study of these books. So she learned how to buy at auction, and she worked with this, God, I forget his name, very famous New York dealer. And she worked there until he died, and when he died, his business was sold. So she decided she would go into her own similar type of business, and she started buying books at auctions and opened up shop. In the apartment where she was living, she had a very nice little business going, and then she met the young man who became her husband, and she took her books, went off to Canada with him, and she's been up there ever since.
What is his name?
Richard Holt. H-O-L-T.
And when did they get married?
June 19th.